Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, 28th of June, 2026, Romans.
All right. Get my throat going. Well, everybody had their birthday. Yesterday, Dodie and Emily, but affectionately known as E. Miley. Dodie and Emily had their birthday yesterday, and Dimmy has his today. So three birthdays, and my soulmate, look at what she stepped up there and made a fantastic happy birthday. Woo! And you know, no, it's all grace, but we'll send you the bill. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the Word of God this morning to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. We are in the great parenthesis. Three entire chapters make up this parenthesis. Romans 9, 10, and 11. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 9. In the first paragraph, verses 1 through 5, we have the sorrow and the soul pain of the Apostle Paul. We've exegeted verses 1 through 3 and part of verse 4, but let's look at verses 1 through 3. I am communicating the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bearing witness with me by the agency of the Holy Spirit. That verse 2, that I have a great sorrow and constant pain in my heart, for I could wish that I myself would be anathemaed, accursed, and consequently separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my fellow countrymen, according to earthly descent. The more the Apostle Paul grew up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and attained the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, virtue, love brought to completion in his heart, the more sensitive he became to the tragedy of Israel and the Jewish people. To have such a fantastic spiritual heritage as the Jew and to miss eternal salvation was almost more than the Apostle Paul could bear. Both the formation of the Jewish race and the origin of the Jewish nation of Israel emphasizes Jesus Christ as the God of Israel, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And therefore, to be a Jew and not to believe in Christ, the God of Israel, is overwhelming to the Apostle Paul. Paul's pain and burden persisted in proportion to the number of Jews who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Paul sees the destiny of every Jew who rejects Christ as Savior, that they will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Because Paul understands the issue from knowing and believing the aletheia, absolute truth of the God-breathed Scriptures, and from the royal family honor code in his soul, Paul is even willing to take their place and to go to the lake of fire if it could mean that they would be saved. This is the greatest illustration of impersonal love for all. Even though this noble desire is impossible, the expression of it reveals maximum function of the royal family honor code and virtue love brought to completion in the Apostle Paul's heart. Paul sees the principle of substitution as one of the most honorable principles of life. It demands nobility of motivation and expression of maximum impersonal love for all of the human race. The greatest illustration of this for the whole world is our Lord Jesus Christ, who took our place. He was our substitute. He willingly went to the cross. He willingly received the world's sins in his body on the cross. And he willingly received the judgment for those sins once and for all. And because he did, now anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life and eternal salvation. Now, in verses 4 and 5, we have the incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel. The incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel is now given in 6 parts. Part 1, the adoption as adult sons. Part 2, the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy of Holies above the Ark of the Covenant. Part 3, the unconditional covenants. Part 4, the giving of the Mosaic Law. Part 5, the temple service. Part 6, the promises. We have studied part 1 of this incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel, their adoption. We have studied part 2 of this incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel, the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, residing in the Holy of Holies, above the Ark of the Covenant in the age of Israel. And we are in the process of studying part three of this incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel, and that is the unconditional covenants. So, verse 4, we are Israelites, to whom belongs part one of the incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel, adoption as adult sons, and the Shekinah glory, part two of the incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel, Jesus Christ residing in the Holy of Holies above the Ark of the Covenant. And part three of this incomparable spiritual heritage of Israel, the covenants, for the unconditional covenants. Now we have studied the Abrahamic covenant, the real estate covenant, or some call it the Palestinian covenant, the Davidic covenant. There are four unconditional covenants. We've studied Abrahamic, real estate, Davidic covenant. There's one to go, and that is the new covenant. So we start this morning with the new covenant. The new covenant to Israel. This is unconditional covenant number four. Turn over to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. The new covenant to Israel, and point one, the basic scripture for the new covenant is Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. Verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers. That was the Mosaic Law. That was a conditional covenant. These are four unconditional covenants. So not like the conditional covenant I made with their fathers, the Mosaic Law, in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Now, after those days is the end of the tribulation, the time of the second advent of Jesus Christ back to the earth. So, but this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, the tribulation, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their hearts I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach again each man his neighbor, and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they will all know me in the millennium. From the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. All right, two. This is unconditional covenant number four. It is not a conditional covenant like the Mosaic Law. Mosaic Law was a conditional covenant. This is an unconditional covenant. depends entirely on who and what God is, not on who and what Israel. God, with the unconditional covenants, all four will be fulfilled. But there is, in each one of them, an eternal life clause. You have to have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And those who believe in Christ as their Savior, they will be the recipients of this these fantastic four unconditional covenants. So this is an unconditional covenant, not a conditional covenant like the Mosaic Law. Three, this covenant confirms and guarantees the fulfillment of all of the unconditional promises of God to the nation Israel. This covenant confirms and guarantees the fulfillment of all of the unconditional promises of God to the nation Israel. Four, in the new covenant, all the national failures of Israel are forgiven, and Israel is restored as a client nation to God. Right now, Israel is not a client nation to God. It hasn't been since 70 AD. That was the last time they were a client nation. We're living in the times of the Gentiles. And in the times of the Gentiles, there are only Gentile client nations to God. Today, the United States of America is the current client nation to God. How much longer we're going to be one? Well, that's only the Lord knows. We're trending the wrong way, however. So we're living in the times of the Gentiles, only Gentile client nations to God. But when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent and rescues all those who believe in Christ, and in that tribulation, you got some fantastic witnesses. The two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, proclaiming the grace gospel all over the world. And you have the 144,000 real Jehovah's Witnesses proclaiming the grace gospel in Jesus Christ, and that's when the Jews will realize more than ever before that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the one that they crucified. They will realize He is the Messiah, and they will place their faith in Him, and there will be a large remnant of believers who will be rescued by Jesus Christ at the second advent, brought into the millennial kingdom, and then Israel will become a client nation to God again in the millennium, and the whole world will be blessed by association with client nation Israel. So, in the new covenant, all the national failures of Israel are forgiven, and Israel is restored as a client nation to God during the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Six, the new covenant to Israel is an eternal covenant. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. It's an eternal covenant, and therefore you must have eternal life to be recipients of this covenant. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 60. Yet I will remember the covenant I made with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. So this is an everlasting covenant, an eternal covenant, and therefore the Jewish recipients of this covenant must have eternal life to be beneficiaries. And to have eternal life, they must have believed in Jesus Christ. Now, believed in Jesus Christ as he was revealed in the Old Testament, such as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So believe in Christ as he was revealed in the Old Testament, or believe in Jesus Christ as he is presented by the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, and the 144,000 Jewish evangelists in the tribulation, or believe in Christ as he is presented in the millennial kingdom, because those Jews that are rescued by Christ go into the millennium in human bodies, not a resurrection body, human bodies. And they will, in that, they'll live almost the entire 1,000 years, and they will have multitudes of children. Those children that are born physically alive, spiritually dead. And they must believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior throughout that 1,000-year millennial reign. So, therefore, the Jewish recipients of the new covenant must have eternal life to be beneficiaries. To have eternal life, they must have believed in Jesus Christ, first of all, as he was revealed in the Old Testament, or as he is presented by the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, and the 144,000 Jewish evangelists in the tribulation, or as he is presented in the millennial kingdom. 7. The new covenant to Israel applies two categories. Applies to two categories of Jewish people. The new covenant to Israel applies to two categories of Jewish people. First, historical Jews of the Old Testament who believed in Christ as he was revealed to them. So first, historical Jews of the Old Testament who believed in Christ as he was revealed to them. And secondly, eschatological Jews of the tribulation and the millennial kingdom who believe in Christ. So the new covenant to Israel applies to two categories of Jewish people. First of all, historical Jews of the Old Testament who believed in Christ as he was revealed to them. And secondly, the eschatological Jews of the tribulation and the millennial kingdom who believe in Christ. And this is all going to come to a head in our passage in Romans 9 when we get to verse 6. And in Romans 9, verse 6, go ahead and turn over there. Previews of coming attraction. Romans 9, verse 6. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. For they are not all Israel. They are not all Israel. That's true Jew. To be a true Jew, you must be a born-again Jew. You must have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. For they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Racial Jews. And if all you are is a racial Jew but have not believed in Jesus Christ, you're a false Jew. So there's true Jews and false Jews. True Jew is the regenerate Jew. False Jew is the racial Jew who's never believed in Jesus Christ. And Paul will communicate that. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. for they are not all Israel, true Jews, regenerate Jews, who are descended from Israel, racial Jews. To be a true Israel, you must be born again through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. 8. In reality, the new covenant is a series of promises to disciplined and dispersed Israel. The new covenant is a series of promises to disciplined and dispersed Israel that they will be restored as a client nation to God at the second advent. So in reality, the new covenant is a series of promises to disciplined and dispersed Israel that they will be restored as a client nation to God at the second advent. Furthermore, the restored client nation Israel will continue in the millennial kingdom and in the eternal state forever. 9. The removal of Israel as a client nation to God, and that took place in 70 AD. It was actually from 66 to 70 AD, but it culminated in 70 AD. Titus and the Roman legions destroyed Israel, the Jewish people. Thousands and thousands and thousands of them jumped off cliffs to their death rather than being killed by the Romans. But that was the end of the last Jewish client nation to God. 70 AD, the administration of the fifth cycle of discipline on Israel. So point 9, the removal of Israel as the client nation to God in August of 70 AD by Titus and the Roman legions through the administration of the fifth cycle of discipline resulted in the times of the Gentiles. Resulted in the times of the Gentiles. Turn over to Luke 21. Luke 21. Luke 21, we'll start at verse 20. Luke 21, verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, this is the Roman legions, Titus and the Roman legions. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by the Roman armies, then recognize that her desolation is at hand. This is the administration of the fifth cycle of national discipline. They are no longer to be a client nation to God until the second advent of Christ. Verse 21. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And let those who are in the midst of the city depart. And let not those who are in the country enter the city. Because these are days of vengeance, in order that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse babes in those days, for there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword, and they will be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And that will be at the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, point 9, the removal of Israel as a client nation to God in August of 70 AD by Titus and the Roman legions through the administration of the fifth cycle of national discipline resulted in the times of the Gentiles. Luke 21, 20-24. 10, the times of the Gentiles from that day, 70 AD, all the way until the second advent of Christ is when only Gentile nations can be client nations to God. The times of the Gentiles is when only Gentile nations can be a client nation to God. And like I said, we currently are the client nation to God in the world today. But we are a nation in apostasy and degeneracy, and how much longer we're going to be a client nation to God, only God knows. But it breaks my heart, and I know it breaks many of your hearts, to see our nation, our nation in apostasy, our nation in degeneracy, our nation in lawlessness, criminality, assassinations, murders, hatred of Christianity. More than half the nation hate Christians, hate Christianity, hate Jesus Christ, hate conservatives, hate the president. And I never thought I would live to see that day in the United States of America, but I have. And I still love this nation very, very much. I love everything that flag stands for. And I appreciate the freedom that have been purchased for us by men in service, serving all over the world, and some of them giving the ultimate sacrifice, their life, that we might have freedoms in America. The freedom to come to Upland Bible Church, the freedom to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But these freedoms are being taken away. And very easily, it could turn around with an election. It could be turned around, and we are the enemy. And they come in here, and they'll definitely grab Pastor Olson and haul him off. And then you got to decide what you're going to do. They'll ask you, do you believe what this guy here does? No way. Okay, well, you'll have to decide. And they'll take me, I know, and put me in prison. But if some of you get in there with me, we have a way of getting out. We're going to start singing. And they will let us out, I guarantee you. We start singing. No, Gary Brown's not in here. Sorry, Gary, you sing great. So the times of the Gentiles is when only Gentile nations can be client nations to God. 11, the times of the Gentiles will continue until the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. The times of the Gentile will continue until the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, 12. The new covenant to Israel guarantees to Israel the fulfillment of all their unconditional covenants. Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and new covenants guaranteed they will all be fulfilled at the second advent. So the new covenant to Israel guarantees to Israel the fulfillment of all four unconditional covenants. 13, furthermore, no Jew qualifies for the new covenant to Israel apart from salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. No Jew qualifies for the new covenant to Israel apart from salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Now we have, there are those marvelous, fantastic exceptions. Don, he believed in Christ, and he was a Jew. When we did his memorial service, why, there came a, I don't know if he's a local rabbi or something, he came in with all of the gear and sat down. And I got to give, well, Don Lewis gave his own testimony of how he recognized that Jesus Christ was the Messiah and that he believed in Christ for his salvation. And I read that, and that Jewish rabbi was sitting out here and heard all that. And then he stayed, and he heard the grace gospel again and again and again. But there are marvelous exceptions. Greg Morton down here. Don Lewis, we have had marvelous exceptions in our congregation who were Jewish, who placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And that's fantastic. So furthermore, no Jew qualifies for the new covenant to Israel apart from salvation through faith in Christ. 14. The Jews of the Old Testament, tribulation, and millennial kingdom. The Jews of the Old Testament, tribulation, and millennial kingdom cannot enter into the new covenant apart from salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The Jews of the Old Testament, the tribulation, and the millennial kingdom cannot enter into the new covenant apart from salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that brings up a point. What about Jews today in the church age? We're living in the church age. What about Jews today when you believe in Jesus Christ today? Well, guess what? You are a new animal. You are the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. You're a royal family of God, body of Christ. So every Jew in the church age who places his faith in Christ is now, through the baptism of the Spirit, a member of the body of Christ, royal family of God. You're a new spiritual species. So that's the church age. So we need to take a look at the application to the church age. So remember, Jews of the church age who believe in Christ for eternal salvation are no longer Jews. They are now the body of Christ. They're a new spiritual species. They're a royal family of God. So application to the church age. One, the Jewish monopoly during the dispensation of Israel caused several factors. The Jewish monopoly during the dispensation of Israel caused several factors. First, the creation of a new racial species when Abraham was age 99. The only nation in all of human history that had a spiritual origin through faith in Jesus Christ. So the creation of a new racial species when Abraham was age 99. And the promise to Israel in the form of the unconditional covenants. So the Jewish monopoly during the dispensation of Israel caused several factors. The creation of a new racial species when Abraham was age 99. And the promise to Israel in the form of the unconditional covenants. Two, the Jew as a new racial species in the Old Testament had a spiritual monopoly which existed until Jesus Christ was rejected as Messiah and his fulfillment of Operation Grace, his salvation work on the cross. The Jew as a new racial species in the Old Testament had a spiritual monopoly which existed until Christ was rejected as Messiah, his fulfillment of Operation Grace, his salvation work on the cross. Three, the rejection of Messiah as the King of Israel during the first Advent, plus his strategic victory on the cross, set aside all the covenants. The rejection of Messiah as the King of Israel during the first Advent, plus his strategic victory on the cross, set aside all the covenants. Four, now in the church age, the baptism of the Spirit makes every Jew and every Gentile equal as members of a new spiritual species, the body of Christ, the royal family of God. So we are in the church age, Pentecost to the rapture. And in the church age, the baptism of the Spirit, at the moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes you and enters you into union with Christ. And that makes every Jew and every Gentile equal as a new spiritual species, members of the royal family of God, the body of Christ. Five, the new spiritual species, the body of Christ, the royal family of God, is the basis for the utilization of 100% available divine power. Divine power to live a unique spiritual life of the church age. The power of God the Holy Spirit. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Keep on walking by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust pattern of the sin nature. And the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful. So the new spiritual species, the body of Christ, the royal family of God, is the basis for the utilization of 100% available divine power, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Word of God. So that in the church age, from Pentecost to the rapture, there are no covenants. In the church age, from Pentecost to the rapture, there are no covenants. Instead, we have the baptism of the Spirit and the unique spiritual life of the church age. We have something in the church age that is far, far greater than the covenants. All right. We'll take a break now. Give you a chance. Oh, you better get out and get some of those goodies out there. Debbie's put together some fantastic. So enjoy the break. See you back in a few for part two.